Thank you so much, Claire. Wow, 46 people here. Boy, I'm so nervous. I don't know how I can do this. Dan called me yesterday and said someone couldn't make it today. Would you step in? And I said, certainly. I even brought my notepad, okay, because I like when people put everything in paper. Got three guys from Romania, by the way. I like to put it. This is my notepad. This is where I'm going to talk from. Blank. Absolutely blank. My name is Bracelet Bob, and I am a person in long-time recovery. Today is 19,972 days. I get emotional before the meeting even started. 28 days more to make 20,000 days of never having to go back to gambling. Never. Because I know what happens to people who go back to gambling. To people who haven't heard me, I do get a little emotional. I get a little loud because sometimes if you talk low, people don't hear the message. So I talk loud so people could hear the message of abstinence, of recovery, of turning your life around. That's the message that I give. It started at 13 years of age. I was born in 1944. This June 7th. I'm 81 years of age. You're not going to find too many 81 years of age guys here on Zoom and doing all these things and giving back. They give back in their own way. That's when I started going to a racetrack at 13 years of age. How could I? How could I? 13 years of age, you're supposed to be in the Jewish religion, you got bar mitzvah, and you're supposed to be a man. I was not a man. I thought I was a big shot at 13 years of age. I'll just tell a couple stories and I'll go into my motivational thing. At 19, I've always stole from, I used to run a meeting and the topic was, what was the worst thing that you ever did in order to get money with which to stop gambling, to start to gamble with? What was the worst thing you ever did? And what an emotional meeting that was. Maybe one day I'll do it here on a Friday when I host a Friday meeting. The worst thing I ever did, I always stole out of my father's pants. My father put his pants on the doorknob of the bedroom, and he never carried a wallet. He had the money in his pocket. And I'd always sneak up there and take money out. So I'm, what am I, 14, 15, 16 years of age? I wasn't working. I was going to high school, supposedly going to high school. And I would take the money out of his pocket to gamble with. On December 29th, 1963, I know I was at the racetrack, and I snuck upstairs, and I heard my father coughing in the bathroom. And because I knew I was not supposed to be there, I wasn't saying, Dad, are you okay? Are you okay? No, I snuck into my room. At about 4:30 in the morning, I heard my mother crying, Sid, Sid, Sid. And I woke up, and my father was having a heart attack. And I tried to save my father. He was sweating. He fell off the bed. I was pounding on his chest. I was lifting his legs up. I was breathing into his mouth to try and save him, giving him mouth to mouth. And it was like taking a soda and putting a straw in the soda and blowing into the straw and hearing the bubbles. And my father, he took two last gasps. And he died in my arms. 4:30 in the morning. And I remember we buried him the same day. And he said, again, he was on the floor. We put a cover over him. And until we waited for the coroner to come in, the medical examiner, they pick him up, or the people from the funeral home. This little 19-year-old punk snuck upstairs, and took all the money out of his pocket. That was the worst thing I ever did in order to get money with which to gamble. In my sick mind, I'm saying, Jesus, he never missed the money when he was alive. He doesn't need it now because he's dead as he's laying there. And I remember my mother saying, it's funny. Sid didn't have any money in his pockets. No one ever accused me of it, but I know what I did. That still haunts me. I used to be a New York Ranger fan. So at 6 o'clock at night, we buried him that Sunday afternoon. At 6 o'clock at night, I'm putting on my jacket, and it's cold in New York in December. And I have two older brothers who are since dead. One killed himself, and the other one was a sex addict, maniac, sex addict who never took to, left a wife and four kids, married six times, divorced six times, never took care of himself, and he's dead too. And they said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to the hockey game, the Ranger game. I could not go to the Ranger game. I got to run the pool, the goal pool. And my two brothers had to restrain me. I said, your father just died. How could you leave to go to a hockey game? That was one of the worst things I did, the gambling. Married at 26. Came into Gamblers Anonymous December 7, 1970. Married 5.5 months. Lived in an $85 a month apartment where for every dollar you gave, they gave you a cockroach. And the elevators, it was in a slum. I lived in a slum because I had to have money to gamble. I took a beautiful girl out of a beautiful home in Brooklyn. We had this nice elevator. Beautiful elevator. We're on the third floor. But people would piss in the elevator. And if somebody would come to see me, we'd have to take a can of spray and spray the elevator and get the smell of the piss out of the elevator. But I had three television sets because we didn't have remote control. We didn't have ESPN. I could put ABC, NBC, CBS. I could put three games on at the same time because I had bets on them with a bookmaker. And December 7th, she said, you could go to Gamblers Anonymous. She cried with Bill B from the Bronx for 20 minutes. She cried until he said she could get out her name. My name is Janet. And I came home. She said, we're going to a meeting tonight at Gamblers Anonymous. I did not say I'm not going. Who are we going to see there? A bunch of bums. I'm not as sick as they are. I could stop anytime I want. No, I said, I'm going to go. I'm going to go. There were no women there. There were no 26-year-old kids there. There were cab drivers. There were salesmen. There were not too many professionals, let's put it like that. And I'm saying, hey, everything's okay, everything's okay. And meanwhile, she's in the other room and gamming on, crying her eyes out. What I did to her. They put me up against the wall. Big guys. I'm a big guy. They got your wallet. I gave them my wallet. Empty your pockets. Emptied my pockets. Right? Stuff like that. Because they didn't play games back in the day. I was afraid to go back, keeping the eye. I was afraid to go back to gambling. Because they said, you'll never make it, kid. And I said, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. A few years later, probably I was in about 3 or 4 years, about 1973, and I had a mentor, a guy named Jackie. Jackie was a waiter at a delicatessen in Brooklyn, and he was like a father to me because my father was gone. And at an open meeting, Jackie had a heart attack, and he died at the open meeting. In front of all these people. An open meeting for people who don't know is when everyone is invited, male, female, to have gamelan speakers and you share and they have food and stuff like that. A really nice thing. It used to be all the time. And I breathed into his mouth too, and I couldn't save Jackie, my own mentor. At his funeral, the casket was open. His wife's name was Henny. And Jackie had this beautiful suit on. He looked really good. He didn't have his waiter's uniform on. And I called Henny over. I said, "Henny, come with me." And we stood over the casket. I said, "Henny, this is my 1 year pin. There's three people pinned me for my first anniversary because I needed three. This is my 1 year pin. Would it be okay if I could pin Jackie on his lapel, my 1 year pin, and he'll be buried with it?" Our hands were shaking. We were both crying, and there may be people here crying. We were both crying, and I took my 1 year pin and I put it on Jackie's lapel, and that's where my 1 year pin is. And I swore that I would never gamble again on my mentors. And I can't say life, but to my mentor, I would never gamble again. December 7th will be 55 years that I haven't gambled. Because I know what happens to people who gamble, and it's not good. So those are my heavy stories. I could go back when I was in 37, 38 years, and we found out my son is a heroin addict and a pill addict. And he took a gun to his head, and I was ready to lose him. My son was going to kill himself because of drugs, heroin. Now heroin's a household name, though. Back in the day, it wasn't. And we had to send him to rehab because he was at risk. Great place in Mississippi. And if you paid in advance for 4 months, it was $30,000. And they said, "But funerals are expensive too." I did not want to lose my kid. And we paid, had 3 days to come up with $30,000 18 years ago. I always say to people, how many people here, if you're still gambling and still doing the wrong thing and you're screwing up, if you had a chance to save your spouse, if you had a chance to save one of your children by coming up with $30,000 in 3 days, how many of you could do it? And if you can, when I finish speaking, you put up your hand and you say, "Oh, I could do it. Everything is great. I'm winning all kinds of money gambling. I could save my kid's life for $30,000, which is probably $50,000, $60,000 now." So gamblers anonymous. Why do I do what I do? Because gamblers anonymous saved my not only saved my life, it saved the life of my son, who was doing great 2 years and 2 months ago. At 79 years old, I became a grandpa. And 9 days, maybe 10 days already, 10 days ago, at 81, I became a grandpa again, a little baby girl. A little baby girl named Charlie. Where the hell my son came up with a name like Charlie for a little girl? But that's for another meeting. Okay? I got a lot to live for. I have an awful lot to live for. And so do we all. No one ever can. Now I go to my motor. Now I put on my. That's the Bob F. I'm not Bob F anymore. I'm Braces Bob. A person in long-time recovery who wants people to stop gambling, wants people to listen and not destroy themselves, to become the person that they're supposed to be, whether it be a husband, whether it be a wife, whether it be a father, whether it be a mother. Person you're supposed to be. No one ever grew up and were born to 3 years old, 4 years old, 5 years old, 6 years old, 7 years old, and say, what do you want to be when you grow up? Did anybody here say, I want to be a problem gambler when they were young? Anyone say, I want to be a degenerate? Anyone say, I want to be a compulsive gambler and ruin my life and everyone around me? Did anyone say it? They want to be firemen. The women, they want to be doctors. They want to be policemen. They want to be in the service. The women want to be nurses. Now they want to be lawyers. They want to be doctors and all this other stuff. But no one ever said, I want to be a sick, compulsive gambler and destroy my life when I grow up. No one ever said that. I don't think so. But, you know, I've been wrong before. I know I didn't, keeping it in the eye. Wow. What a message. What a message. You do not have to live the rest of your life like this. You don't. Who would want to? But you got to change. You got to say, gambling is a, in all the years I've been coming, no one ever left the room. Got 6 months, got complacent, said I could do it on my own. I don't need it. I got a handle on this. I could control it. In almost 55 years, no one ever walked back in the room and said, hi, guys. Hi, ladies. Things are great. My wife is so happy. Then I'm gambling again. We have all the money in the world. I put my kids through college. I bought a new house. We go on vacations. My wife is so happy. She's never been so happy. Then I'm back to gambling. Wow, I'm retired. In almost 55 years, ladies and gentlemen, no one ever said that. They come back with their tail. This is a live meeting. They come back with the tail between their legs. And you know what they say? I should have never left this program. I got complacent. I stopped going to meetings. I thought I could handle it. I am in more trouble now than when I first walked into Gamblers Anonymous months ago and stopped gambling. Why did I do it? Why? I hope everyone heard what I just said. Unless you think you're going to be the one who's going to break a 55-year streak of no one ever doing it. That's my motivational part. Bracelet Bob. So, because I'm not Bob F. anymore. I'm not 26 years of age anymore. I give back to this program, and the only thing I ever ask, the only thing, don't gamble. Don't gamble. Take my message. I don't know how many years I got left. I almost died about three times the last couple of years. I have too much to live for now. To see those little grandchildren grow up. And for people who have little kids, the greatest gift you could give them is that they never have to see you as a problem gambler. Never. And that is a gift you cannot put under a Christmas tree. You can't put it in a box. You can't put wrapping paper on it. You can't put ribbon on it. You can't put a bow on it and say, here is the gift of recovery, because I am not going to screw up my life again. I'm going to be the parent I'm supposed to be. You will never have to see me as a problem gambler again. How much would you have to try to win to lose all that? To let your kids know that you fill in the blank. You fill in the blank. So, try to calm myself. I'm doing so well so far, which is good for me. But that's the motivational part of me. I'm going to a live meeting after this. I'm going to a live meeting. And they love me at that live meeting. I got 5 minutes to go. And they love me at that meeting because I give service. I sit up in the front I don't sit in the back and hide. I sit in the front. So why they call me Brace the Bottom? This started maybe 8 to 10 years ago. This is my commercial part. Maybe 8 to 10 years ago. I had an idea. Maybe from that Lance Armstrong who had the cancer and all that stuff. And they had these bracelets, and you see the one for cancer, cancer sucks, and all that other stuff. I said, why can't I have a bracelet to help people recover? Why can't I do it? What idea? How did I've been giving these things out for maybe 8 to 10 years now at my dime. I never asked a penny. You know why? Because there's no price on recovery. Never asked a penny for anyone. And people know what the postage is now. It just went up to 78 cents. Wow. So what? The most used phrase in any 12-step program is this one. Nice, pretty blue bracelet. One day at a time. How simple is that? No one at 26, they didn't tell me you can't gamble for the rest of your life. I would say, what are you talking about? But you can gamble. You could not gamble today. Any idiot could make one day without gambling. If you got to lock yourself in the bathroom, do it without your phone. For the new people here, look at that. It says one day or day one. I told you what happens to people who go back to day one. Nothing good happens. Nothing at all. So it's one day or day one. They're all getting out for free anywhere in the world. Anywhere in the world. You make 1 year? You don't make 1 year for the people who made at least their first year. I give them this one. This one you have to earn. Look at that. I am a miracle. I am a miracle. When thousands of people stop gambling, hundreds of thousands of people stop gambling. And unfortunately, a lot of people did not stop gambling. I am a miracle. I have stopped gambling. God gave me life. They put me in this direction of finding these meetings and listening to people who understand. We understand. We know the pain. And I always say that of all the 12-step programs, the ones that have the most suicides, is this one. This program for gambling, problem, compulsive, whatever word you want to use, has the most suicides. Isn't that scary? And I also say that this disease takes lives. But this program, Gamblers Anonymous, saves lives. So that is the choice we make every day. Do I want to become the person I'm supposed to be? Oh, I have another bracelet. Shoot. I almost said shit. I have another bracelet. Then I'll finish up. This one. Oh, where did I got to find. Yeah, I got two bracelets here. This is my favorite one. And then I'll finish up. I got it. Come on, this is a pink one. You could take this to the Bobby movie. Get out there. I got a few bracelets to give out. This one says, I am done. I don't care if you put on your wrist. I don't care if you put it on your nightstand. I don't care if you put on the gear shift of your car. I don't care if you use it as an ankle bracelet. I don't care. But it's something you can look at every day and you say to yourself, I am done. I'm done with the lying. I'm done with the stealing. I'm done with the depression. I'm done with the debt. I'm done with the disappointment. I'm done with gambling. What a great thing to say. And then you're going to have recovery. abstinence and recovery. There are 12 steps. They read the recovery program already. There are 12 steps here. But if people do not know, you could look it up later. Only the first step mentions gambling, or else this would be a one-step program. And if all you did was stop gambling, it's commendable. But if you want to straighten your life out, if you want to become a much better person, there are 11 other steps that should be worked on throughout your life. So I want to thank the, I'm going to put my email address in there if anybody would like one or two of those bracelets, they're sent anywhere in the world for free. And let this be the day to straighten out your life that made you, put you on the right track, the track, and not the racetrack, the track to recovery. And no one, and I'll put my email address to send for free anywhere in the world. That will be in the mailbox tomorrow. So, Dan, I want to thank you. I wouldn't disappoint. I want to thank you for asking me to do this yesterday. And I'm telling you, look at that, huh? That was the notes. This all came from my heart. That's where it came from. This program saved my life. So thanks for letting me share. I love you all.
Thank you for that, Bob. It's an absolute great listen. Great length of service. Just goes to show that recovery works if you're willing to work it. And there's definitely things there I was able to relate to and things that could have sent you back, but you've used your program well. And I just love your step 12. Lucky enough to receive a couple of your bracelets, and I know there's one in the post. But thank you for sharing tonight. We will open up the room now for questions and comments, and there's a few hands up. So we'll go over to Socky first.
August 24th, 1988. But people don't know Big Bob. I call him Big Bob. I don't call him Bracelet Bob. Big Bob is my mentor, my brother, and my friend. And see him tonight. We go to the same home group meeting. So I have to give him an A+. My rating today, Bob, you being a guest speaker, I'm going to give you an A+. This is a perfect share. One, two. You know, I know a lot of people in this room, and most of you know that my son passed 4 years ago. But not only is Bob a good GA brother, he's a good friend. You know, when my son passed, the rabbi said we need family members to lift up the casket and put it down in the grave. Bob was around 30 feet away from me. And when, you know, only a couple of relatives left to go to my son. And Bob went to my son. And Bob lifted a corner. So Bob was there for me. Not only GA, Bob was my friend and brother and lifted my son. Bob, I'll never forget that about you. I have a question for you, Big Bob. I know you've handed out and mailed thousands and thousands of bracelets all around the world. Here's my question for you. Do you have all the states in the United States checked off on your list? Have you given a bracelet to everybody in every state? Question number one. Question number two, how many different countries have you mailed the bracelet to? And if you haven't know, if you don't know that information, I want that information by next week, because I've asked it to you many times. Love you, Big Bob. See you in a few hours.
Well, probably, I never kept track of it, but it probably about 40 to 45, I would say. And Hoku is in Hawaii, and maybe if Hoku would send me his information or her information, I would knock off Hawaii off the list. And last week we had a member from Senegal. And I've never sent them one to Senegal, but that's on my to-do list when I get the information. Thank you, Saki.
Thank you, Saki. We'll go over to Gary.
Yeah, I'm absolutely speechless. Speechless. I'd say I was a speech writer. It's not about me. I've heard so many shares. That 30 minutes was the most inspiring and meaningful commentary of what recovery is about. I have never assigned anything to my sponsees, but none of them I don't think are on this. This will be required listening. Dan, please tell me as soon as it gets up, and I will never ask my sponsees to do something that I won't do. This is going to be a once a week listen for me. Please, everybody who heard that, don't just hear it one time. Play it back. If you can't pick up the phone and call somebody, play it back. That was incredible. Bracelet Bob, thank you for everything you do for this program. But what you did today, I have shivers right now. I cannot wait till my wife comes home and asks me what I did today. And I'm going to play that for her tomorrow or the next day to show her what recovery is as well. And my kids, so that they never even think about doing this again. Thank you for being you. That was indeed special. And I'm in tears. I really am. You did an amazing job.
Well, thank you, Gary.
Thanks, Gary. We'll go over to Deborah.
Thank you, Claire. I appreciate it. Bob, that was really quite inspirational. I've heard you speak before, and I have gotten a couple bracelets for you from you, so thank you very much. They sit on my desk. I don't wear them. I don't wear bracelets. I don't wear much jewelry. So anyway, grandchildren, I'm so pleased that you have some grandchildren. That is the epitome of life, as far as I'm concerned, if you're a grandparent. So I want you to enjoy them while you can. I had minor, all five of them, six of them, five of them are 19, 21, 20. So I've gotten to, we moved here specifically to the cornfields of Illinois. I said I'll never live in the Midwest, and I moved here because of my grandchildren, and they all kind of ended up here. But two of them lived with me for a year when they were younger, and I did one of those things that you did. I stopped on a highway with them in my car while they were sleeping at 10:30 at night, and I went into a bar to gamble. I locked them in the car, ha ha ha, and I went into a bar and I gambled. Unfortunately, I lost my money very quickly and I was back out, but they were awake by then on the phone with their parents. And it was very close. They almost took them away from me. And so, did I learn my lesson? No, Bob, I didn't. I did not learn my lesson. That this illness is so strong that, I stole from my grandchildren when they lived here. If they had money laying on the floor, I'm like, nah. They deserve to lose it. I don't care if it was 25 cents, I would take it from them. And fortunately, both of them just visited me, one at one time and one just left yesterday, flew home to Jacksonville, Florida. And I can tell she's forgiven me. It's for my one granddaughter, she had to have a lot of therapy. So I'm hoping that her and I are good. And, yeah, enjoy your grandchildren. That's all I got to say. You're very lucky. So anyway, thank you very much for today. I appreciate
Speaking of
it.
Deb, speaking of grandchildren, this is my 2-year-old.
Okay.
Can you see it or see higher?
Yeah, oh
Maybe
yeah, I see it.
that's
Oh.
my 2-year-old. He's holding the hand of a 4-day-old baby.
Yeah.
Okay? And it's his big brother and little sis. I am not giving this up. Not at all. But this is what life is.
Thank
Okay, we'll go over to Matt next.
Matt P., compulsive gambler. Today is day 93. I just want to say how grateful I am for Bob. When I came into this program 93 days ago, I joined his meeting. His meeting was the first meeting I ever joined, and I was scared at first what I was gonna join into, and they were very welcoming, but they were also assertive, and they asked me the 20 questions, and I feel like I really connected with the people in that meeting, Sachi, Bob, and some of the other guys that were in that meeting, and I'm grateful for Bob, and he's helped me a lot through my recovery. And I'm just grateful I am where I am today because of him. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Over to Doug.
Hi, everyone. Doug G, the Pulse Gambler, placed my last bet 9399. And boy, this was an accident popping in here. I always pop in to see who the speaker is. And this was a surprise seeing Bob. I mean, hey, I've known him for years and another person on here too for years. I don't want to say anything, but this was great seeing him. And I didn't hear any speeches when I came in that if it starts at 12 o'clock, you're supposed to be here at 12 o'clock. Unlike when I come to a Friday meeting and I come in late, he gives me a real good lecture. But hey, that's Bob, and I love him. And he is great. And congratulations on your new granddaughter. I knew it was due in August, but I didn't know when. So congratulations. And I'm so glad I got in here. And thanks a lot.
Thank you, Doug. Tony.
Thanks, Claire. Hi, Bob. Thanks for the experience, strength, and hope. I could say every time I hear you talk, you could just feel the passion that you have for this program and the passion that you have for helping people, So I appreciate that. I'm very grateful for that. The quick question, how many times since you've been in for 55 years, how many times did you work the steps and what seemed to be the hardest step for you?
Well, the easiest one was number 12, that's for sure. But I mean, it didn't take me long. It didn't take me long. I knew I was powerless over gambling. My life has become unmanageable. And that was the main one. So if you don't have that one, and I change that around, I change it to I'm not powerless over gambling. Gambling is powerless over me. I'm never going to get up in the room and say, my name is Bob F. again. And after almost 55 years, I'm back to day one. So gambling's powerless over me. And as far as the second part, that my life is unmanageable. Got one more month. I'll be 9 years with my lady and my girlfriend. I live in a country club community. I'm out of debt. I'm retired. My kids are doing well. My life is manageable. I turned step one around. But the other ones, I've made amends. I've done so many other things, and I turned my life over, and I admitted my faults. So I not only worked the steps, I like to say that I lived the steps. I lived the steps, and that's like I said before. This is not a one-step program. One step is a big one, but there has to be a lot more. That's why they say abstinence and recovery. And the recovery is in the steps. I hope that answers it, Frank.
Thanks, Bob. Appreciate
Or Tony. That was Tony. You look alike.
Okay, we'll go over to David next.
Hello, GA family. Be more
Hiya, David.
Davis. Hello,
Touch
Bracelet
your
Bob.
hair. You touch your hair.
I want to agree with you, man. I am done. Everybody knows this actually happens, okay? All you got to do is send your address to Bob and he would be happy. And I am very happy that I've gotten to know you and got to listen to you over and over again. just an accident again that you were coming in. No one knew who it was as it's come on. And actually, I think Dan, what am I doing this September 2nd or something like that? I'm doing the first Tuesday in September if you want to come visit.
September 2nd, David. We have it lined up.
Okay. I would be privileged to have you come listen to me. Thank you again, Bob. And I just sent you an email because I need to re-up. That's the only one I got left. All the other ones have, because I put them on my wrist, and of course, sometimes they snap off because whatever the temperature, I don't know why. But that's my only one left. And so appreciate you so much. I didn't have a question. Just wanted to thank
what
you so
happened to
much
your hair?
For being around.
What happened to your hair? I could ask you a question.
Well, see, my hair will grow back.
Oh, thanks.
Some people ask me. I went for like 12 years, and I'd shaved my head every week. And when I started to grow it out, they said, what kind of product are you using to make it grow? I always had hair. But summertime, it's hot. Not as hot as in Florida, but it's hot up here in Baltimore. You have a wonderful and blessed day, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless.
Okay, we're over to George next.
Good afternoon, George C., compulsive gambler.
Decanes.
Is this the question and answer period, Claire, or is this comments?
Yeah, comments or questions, George.
Okay, thanks. Thank you for your share, Bob. And thank you for all those who protect the room. Sometimes it's a really nasty job. I kind of feel sorry for those people that I would probably be one of those type of people trying to, if I was a gambler and I wasn't recovering, I'd try to get in here and mess things up. So that's all I have to say about that. I related mostly to your beginning of your story, or probably like everybody, I was put up against the wall, a few times. I definitely was on the run more being put up against the wall. And that just made me want to gamble more. Finally, when I ran out of options, I had to, face the music like everybody else does. Doesn't make a difference what meeting it is. I faced the music, and I was with a bunch of people called the Jewish Mafia. The meeting was in Chicago at 4335 West Lawrence Avenue near Albany Park. And the guys used to drive up in their really nice cars, and it was really something. We'd go out for eat afterwards, and one guy gave me a job right away driving a limousine. I've had numerous scholarships for convention dinners when we have many conferences every year. And I had two 20-year relationships, friend relationships in GA. Both of the men passed on, one in September of 2023. I was with him 2 days that week. I was actually with him the night before he passed away. And then my best friend, Jay, passed away. I guess we could say you're friends, but we're different kind of friends. We have to call each other on what, just for our own betterment, we don't call each other friends. For our own betterment, we call each other special kind of friends, for lack of better words. So anyway, this gentleman passed away October 22nd of 2023. So I lost a couple friends. But what I want to talk about it, and I'm not going to go too long, is I was just kind of hoping I could, I remember I used to change my mind when I made a bet, right? Well, I was thinking I could change my behavior by just coming to a couple gamblers anonymous meetings, or maybe 2 years, maybe three, at the worst, maybe four or five. And I've been in a lot longer than that, and even that doesn't guarantee you. Doesn't guarantee me any medals or any promotions, because everybody's as clean as they are. Whoever woke up first earlier today is the one who's the cleanest. I say that because I've had a lot of interesting things happen in the program where I've challenged a program or I've made the wrong decision, but I've also made the right decision on a few things. I've done some service, and that's helped greatly. I was the chairperson of three picnics right after COVID, And that was a good thing for me because I almost died of COVID. But this is not my lead. This is your lead, Bob. So all I can say to myself and everybody else is what we have is today. My best friend who passed away in October of 22, he said, "Yesterday's a canceled check. Today's a gift, and tomorrow's a promissory," which of course is a promissory note. So I met the guy with the biggest heart in the world at this meeting, but he gave himself so much. This gentleman passed away. He got himself in ill health and passed away because he didn't have the fortitude to take the recovery. And I don't want to be like that. I don't mind giving myself to people. I mean, giving help to people, but not to the point of neglecting my body. And if he was alive, he would agree with me right now. And I do have a penchant for making long-winded speeches, so I hope today does not qualify for one of those. Thank you.
Thank you, George. Frank?
There we go.
Hey,
Hello,
Frank.
everybody. Hey, Bob. Hello, everyone. My name is Frank S., grateful recovering compulsive gambler. And too challenging to look at how many days I have, but I know I didn't gamble today, and that's important. I'm here at the UCLA clinic in between appointments. There's a term like stat in the medical, like, we need to get these results right away. Let's take care of it. And Gary, you put a lot of pressure on me here. I edit all the recordings, so when I get back home later, I'll do my best to listen to a lot of this again and send it on to our friend Mark in Scotland, and hopefully we'll get it posted up in the next 24 hours. But I don't get as many meetings as I'd love to. I just circumstances, but I do my best to show up for people that show up for people, and Bob certainly is one of those guys. And I'm so glad that you've taken on the position of host of our Saturday meetings, and just how you reach out and you connect with so many people, and as evidenced by the attendance today. So thank you for all you do. I do have questions. Listen, we all come in here in some way damaged, and that's why there's some good steps about character defects and so forth. Over time, I've done a fairly decent job, I guess, that we should really ask the people around me about my character defects and working on them. I don't know that I'll ever eliminate some of them, but if I can lower the volume on them, then that's progress. And so the question I have for you over the years, 55 years plus, what sort of character defects do you feel that you were surprised that were taken away from you or lessened? And what might you still have to work on? Thanks.
Well, I am a compulsive shopper, I'll tell you that. I have 45 pairs of sneakers in my girlfriend said that in the garage, they're not staying. I do have 40. I am a compulsive shopper. I'm a compulsive meeting goer. I'm a compulsive giver. I just want to do good. I want all the bad things I did, that's in the past. That's in the past. And when I was able to say to myself, I cannot do a thing about what I did, only what I do next. And that cleared my head. I was not a good guy. I was in the army for 3 years, almost court-martialed, running a bookmaking in the Pentagon with a top secret clearance, a big time top secret clearance. And I was running a bookmaking operation in the Pentagon, and they wanted to court-martial me, and I stole all the bad things that I did to steal. I'm like a teddy bear. I'm like a pussycat now because I took all that anger, I took all that craziness, and I put it in a different direction. And that's what helped me. I want to be a nice guy. I want to be fun, but I also want to keep the fire in my belly, the fire that I used to go to gamble with. I had to be at the racetrack. I had to be there. I had to smell the horse shit at the racetrack. Pardon my French, ladies, but that's what it is. It's the horse shit, the smell. it was like a turn on. Now meetings turn me on. Now being a good person, being a role model for my children, that's what meant something, what means something to me. I'm not going to be around forever. None of us are. And I got more years behind me and in front of me. So I want to make every day count. That's what I want to do. And I want to meet my, when the time comes, I want to meet my friends who passed on. And I'd love to have a meeting with them up in heaven if I go there, you know. But that's what it is. But Frank, you're the one, you're the one who said, Bob, why don't you take it for 6 months? I can't do it for 6 months. I got grandkids now. Take it for 3 months. I thank you for nominating me. I really do. It's helped my recovery by giving back more. That's the secret here. Give back. Give service. And, you know, GA is like the mafia. If anyone's Italian here, understand what I'm saying. GA is like the mafia. Once you get in, you can't get out. So, thanks again, Frank.
Thank you, Darlene.
Hi, everybody. I'm Darlene. I'm a compulsive gambler. I'm on day 5. And it was a real treat to hear you today, Bob. A real privilege to hear your story. And, you know, I've known Bob since I come onto Zoom, about 5 going on 6 years. And, you know, one thing I know about Bracelet Bob is that he's always given back and very passionate about this program and is always there to help the newcomer. And I identified a lot with your story. I'm not going to go into what I did on the most horrible thing I did to gamble, but I also can identify with, you know, what I really got out of your message was like, you know, do I want to live this way? You know, do I want to gamble or do I want to have a life? You know, and to hear that you got your life back and that, you know, you got your son back and you have grandchildren now in your life, you know, gives me hope. And I want to thank you for sharing your message of hope today. And it's good to see you and I'm glad you're doing well.
Thank you, honey.
Gavin.
Hi there, everybody. My name's Gavin W., compulsive gambler. And today I'm on day 1. So I've been working on GA for like a few years now, but I've been relapsing pretty hard lately. And I could totally relate to your story, Bob. Like I'm in the process again, my top secret clearance right now. And I'm just like being investigated and all the shit that I'm doing, especially with gambling, it's really making it hard for me to like figure out the right path forward. But I'm glad like GA is here though, because GA has been really helpful for me, and there's just recently been a big sense of urgency for me to really take this seriously, because this is like a do or die situation for me now, and I don't want to be like half doing the steps of GA and then just half letting myself take control. And I really feel that I need to follow the program to the T. And I hope that this will help me with my recovery. So with that said, I'll be back. Thank you.
Gavin, did you ask for a 1 day or day 1 bracelet?
No, I have not.
Well, guess what? You want to really start? You're really serious about recovery? Send me your email address. Send me your address and your last name, and I will send you one that says 1 day or day 1. And you make that decision every day, and you see how you accumulate the days if you make the right decision. Enough already.
Copy. I'll send that to you.
Thank you.
Okay. There's no more hands up. Is there anybody else that would like to ask a question or comment? Sean?
I have a question, Claire.
Yeah, Dr. Nico.
Bob, just one question. I ask it all the time, but do you really think is it ever too late to join this program? That's my question.
Well, we've had kids come in at 13 years of age, and we've got, there's a guy named Saul F. from the Bronx. He's a 1970 graduate, too. That's when he came in 1970 to a bunch of us. Solly F is 102 years old. He is 55 years clean. He lost his wife a couple of years ago, and he's in a wheelchair. He cannot drive. People pick him up and they take him to, I think, a Bronx or a Westchester meeting at 102 years of age. And if he could come to the meeting, why can't everyone come to the meeting? It's a live meeting. So you're never too old. You're never too old to learn, to stop. Nobody wants to go into that box when it's over and say, look at him, look at her. They never stopped. And it's not that you can't stop. It's that you think you can't, that you just can't stop starting. You're not too old to come into here. You're not too young to come into here. But everyone here knows the earlier you come into here, the better your life is going to be. Why not, whatever the year is, however old you are, why not start your life over in the right direction? So I hope that answered your question. There are no ages. We welcome everybody, every nationality, every religion, every preference. We welcome you all because addiction grabs everybody by do you know what? It grabs everybody, has that throat, the grab around the throat. So we wish everybody comes. We will always save a seat for them, either on Zoom or in a live meeting. Thanks, Frank. George.
No, thank you, sir.
Denise.
That's my girlfriend, by the way, Denise.
Hello, Bob.
Hi,
Hello.
baby.
Yeah, I just want to say that what you said is absolutely true. This program is the program that lasts. It gave me back my life. It gave me a life because the life I was living was miserable. I was in doom all the time, and I was in negativity all the time. But like you said, it gives you fun. It's fun. I find this meeting to be fun. This is my going out. This is my liberation. I have so much fun when I come to these meetings. I am free. I am truly, genuinely free. And it's because of this meeting. It's because of this program. It has taught me how to live a life of humanity. It has taught me how to be humane and have self-respect, have worth and value. And I have my grandchildren. I have them back. I thought I lost them. My children, my grandchildren, my brothers and my sisters. It got me back to them because it taught me how to get them back. You know, that was part of the humanity that I found in this program that I learned. I couldn't get it all my way. And now today, when I have resentments, I apologize. Step 10, I apologize. And that's something that I would never do. So yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. This is the one that keeps giving. This is the one that says you can live a good life. You don't have to gamble to live a good life. And I'm not going anywhere. I'm here for the duration. Thank you, Bob. You are fantastic. You know I love you, and I love you always. So, hey, I want another bracelet too. Thank you.
Thank you, Denise. Benjamin.
Yeah, my name's Benjamin, recovering compulsive gambler. But I just want to say thank you for your honesty, and I've heard you speak a couple of times at this meeting, and I always appreciate your intensity. And because this thing's real, it's a life or death type of thing, and it's not to be taken lightly. So I really appreciate your experience, strength, and hope. And that's all I want to say. I just want to let you know I appreciate you. So thanks, Bob.
Thank you, Benjamin. Anybody else?
Poopy's on. Poopy, what's up? Poopy's from South Africa.
Hi, good evening, good afternoon, good morning to all. My name is Pubi and I'm a compulsive gambler in recovery. And I might add a grateful one at that. Definitely not ashamed of my past. What used to be my mess is now my message that there is life after addiction. And I pray that we all find it. Firstly, I want to thank the host, Dan, and the co-host. Thank you, appreciate. Thank you for having me and thank you for allowing me to say a few words. Firstly, I want to say, Bob, absolutely well worth the stay up to have listened to you. Very inspirational, I might add. And yeah, I wear your bracelet with pride. The one I'm wearing currently is I am a miracle, and that is absolutely spot on. And I thank you for that. By the way, the other bracelets that you've given me, yes, I pass it on to new members as well as members that, accomplish milestones as in 30, 60, 90. But yeah, once again, thank you, thank you, thank you, especially to old timers like you and others, because without you, I would never have found this amazing hospital that I call Gamblers Anonymous. And yeah, I'm eternally grateful, thankful, and feel blessed to have been part of this amazing meeting tonight, and more importantly, to have listened to you. Thank you again, Bob. Really appreciate everything you do. And yeah, thank you again.